Well, I as we're a night of preparation, I thought that we could go to a psalm that reminds us about the importance of trusting in the Lord and His provision. And so I invite you to turn to Psalm 127. And I'll read it for us. Psalm 127. It's a great one, especially as we are putting things together and setting them up for an important endeavor this week. This is Psalm 127. A Song of Ascents of Solomon. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil. For he gives to his beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb, a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. Heavenly Father, thank you for this beautiful psalm you give us through King Solomon. I pray for you to bless this brief reflection on your word and the rest of our time this evening. Thank you for how much you instruct us and shape us through this psalm. I pray this in Jesus' name, amen. So, it's not our nature to do what this psalm says, to confess what this psalm says, and even the first line might strike us as we're running around making preparations. Unless the Lord builds the house, we labor in vain. Those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. I've been going through the book Undaunted Courage about Lewis and Clark, since I'm going to go live right by the Columbia River. I thought that was fitting. And I read about a man who was the watchman over the camp right when they were going into Sioux territory, and he fell asleep on the job one night, and they had a whole trial, and he pled guilty for sitting down, but not guilty for sleeping. And he was tried and found guilty on both counts. And you can guess what the sentence was for him. I mean, what do you guys think? Did he have to? No, not death. Oh, thankfully not. No, not death. He had to stay awake. Well, he learned to stay awake through his sentence. He had four successive days of 100 lashes to stay awake. Yeah, pretty stark punishment would leave an impression, maybe for the rest of his life. And I was going through that, and I thought of this psalm because it's talking about the watchman. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. Now, I don't want to say there's no prudence in what Lewis and Clark were doing. It is good to be vigilant, to be diligent, to work hard, to prepare for things like VBS. But the underlying principle in this psalm is that for the believer, this principle is for us. It's that the Lord is in control and that He is gracious and kind in loving us and providing all that we need, and in giving us the kingdom that we seek and pray for. As we read here, it says, unless the Lord builds a house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. So it's actually the opposite of what we read, or what I mentioned in the Lewis and Clark story. They thought it was vain if the man fell asleep. But it's actually the opposite with the Lord. We ultimately need the Lord's provision. We need His providential care and his gracious work to see anything happen in his kingdom. And the vanity of looking to ourselves for provision and for good things, the good things that we want to produce, serving the Lord, is contrasted with the final phrase of verse 2. It says, "For he gives to his beloved sleep." So the Lord is the one who watches over the city. The Lord is the one who builds the house. And we can either live in anxious toil, or we can trust in the Lord and trust in his love and kind provision to us. So that's the first idea that we see in this psalm. And the second idea that I want to look at for a few moments is the second half of this psalm in verses 3 through 5. It speaks about children, and children being the heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb, a reward. Now, we all love babies and little kids. They make us smile just when we look at them. And yet, I think this goes beyond children. It speaks of offspring being a blessing and the way that God brings his purposes about in the world. VBS, we can enjoy the children that God brings to this church, and we can see his work as they receive these stories and think about Jesus, maybe even trust in him for the first time. We can see that. But we can also, through VBS, come and trust the Lord with these children that he brings here. Because having children is hard work. Doing something like VBS is hard work. And ultimately, children are from the Lord. And we need to trust him with them and trust him to do his good work in the hearts of all of his sheep. So it's pretty amazing to note, though, in the end of this psalm, how God's purposes go forward through children. Verses 4 and 5 speak about children as arrows or an offensive weapon. So we don't probably initially think about VBS as an offensive move in God's kingdom, or the preparations that we're making tonight as a move on the offensive, but they really are for God's kingdom. That's certainly true for having children and raising them in the Lord, but it's also true for any outreach that we do to children, because we don't know what God will do through our efforts here. I mean, you all are here tonight because you heard the gospel and trusted in Christ at one point or another in your life. Some of you, that might have been when you were very young. Well, we can pray and hope for that this week and as we pray this evening. So those are really my thoughts I wanted to share out of Psalm 127, just how we can trust in the Lord to do the work. And we can go to sleep every night after working really hard and know that he gives to his beloved sleep. And maybe just trust him with all of the details of the next day, knowing that he is in control, that he will take care of them. I think Barb had a few, I think Barb had a few things you wanted to share about how the Lord's already provided. But I had something I wanted to read, if that'd be okay. It's about, it's also in the devotional variety. This is by J.C. Ryle. It's a little booklet about parenting, but I thought it applies to what we're about to do at VBS. And I'll read a few paragraphs from this, so just take a few minutes. But I think it's good because he gets at the important need that we have, the spiritual need that we all face in this life and that even children are wrestling with at their young age. So this is one of his tenets that he encourages parents in, one of the duties that he encourages parents in, and I trust you to translate this to teaching and being around these kids at VBS this week. But this is the eighth one. It says, train them to a habit of faith. He says here, I mean by this that you should train them up to believe what you say. You should try to make them feel confidence in your judgment and respect your opinions as better than your own. You should accustom them to think that when you say a thing is bad for them, it must be bad. And when you say it is good for them, it must be good. That your knowledge is, in short, better than their own, and that they may rely implicitly on your word. Teach them to feel that what they know not now, they will probably know hereafter. And to be satisfied, there is a reason and a needs be for everything you require them to do. Now, this is teaching that's not on our own strength and knowledge and ideas that we're coming up. It's teaching based in God's word. But there's a confidence that comes through instructing in the truths of God's word, even when there's things that children can't fully grasp or things that even go beyond our ability to grasp. We encourage the children to trust what God says in his word. Ryle continues, he said, who indeed can describe this blessedness of a real spirit of faith? Or rather, who can tell the misery that unbelief has brought upon the world? Unbelief made Eve eat the forbidden fruit. She doubted the truth of God's word. Ye shall surely die, the Lord said. Unbelief made the world reject Noah's warning and so perish in sin. Unbelief kept Israel in the wilderness. It was the bar that kept them from entering the promised land. Unbelief made the Jews crucify the Lord of glory. They believed not the voice of Moses and the prophets, though read to them every day. And unbelief is the reigning sin of man's heart down to this very hour. Unbelief in God's promises, unbelief in God's threatenings, unbelief in our own sinfulness, unbelief in our own danger, unbelief in everything that runs counter to the pride and worldliness of our evil hearts. Reader, you train your children to little purpose if you do not train them to a habit of implicit faith. Faith in their parents' or their teachers' word. Confidence that what their parents or teachers say must be right. And I want to skip down to the final couple paragraphs of this. He says, set before him the example of Isaac in the day when Abraham took him to offer him on Mount Moriah in Genesis 22. He asked his father that single question, where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Isaac got no answer but this, God will provide himself a lamb. How or where or whence or in what manner or by what means? All this Isaac was not told. But the answer was enough. He believed that it would be well because his father said so, and he was content. Tell your children, too, that we must all be learners in our beginnings, that there is an alphabet to be mastered in every kind of knowledge, that the best horse in the world had need once to be broken, that a day will come when they will see all the wisdom of your training. But in the meantime, if you say a thing is right, it must be enough for them. They must believe you and be content. And they believe you and are content because you are communicating God's word and truth to them, his word of life. So I just thought those would be some helpful thoughts for us tonight. We live in a world of unbelief where there's a spiritual battle taking place, and we have the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, to communicate to these kids. That's what we'll pray for tonight, for God to allow his word to pierce hearts through the Spirit.